Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you've been enjoying our live episodes, why not come see a live recording of Drunk Women Solving Crime? Our next shows of 2019 are at the Pleasance Theatre, London on Sunday, February 24th, with guests Helen Lederer and Beck Hill, and Thursday, April 25th, with Desiree Birch and Zoe Lyons. Tickets available at pleasance.co.uk. We also have a special show at the Vault Festival for International Women's Day on Friday, March 8th, with YouTube star, sex educator, and author Hannah Witten, with 100% of the proceeds going to Child.org's Team Mum campaign. You can find more info and buy tickets at vaultfestival.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime. Is murder ever justified if someone is enough of a dickhead?
Ooh. I don't understand the steel plate in the head thing. Like, this will fix it. We'll just put a chunk of metal in there.
He's what you would describe as a wrong'un.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there not a law about not having your gun in the courtroom? Or, no, just...
I mean, he's got balls,
like,
but my God.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Drunk Women. And this week we are joined by the incredible sports presenter, reporter, and voiceover artist, it's Faye Carruthers!
Yay!
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
It is our pleasure, and it's a very special day, ladies and gentlemen. It's only Faye's bloody birthday!
Prosecco pop! Yay! Any excuse, Faye, any excuse.
So I've noticed, so from the second I walked in, I've basically bombarded, like, I wish I could have this every single birthday or every single day. You've absolutely spoiled me, so thank you.
Well, what can we say? We're great, great, great people.
Pat yourselves on the back.
Drinkers.
This is also the second recording, so here we are.
They have to guess. They could have already guessed.
They probably could have.
Within 1 second.
And now, birthday girl.
No better way to celebrate than this question.
Have you ever been a victim of a crime?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, take me back to, like, a depressing time on my birthday, why don't you? To be honest, I've been very, very lucky in my life. There was one time I was at the Hen and Chickens pub in Highbury in Islington.
Do you know the one? Know it, of course.
Had been there most of the day.
Nice.
And okay, it was before the times where you had those silly little hooks under the table. And I didn't put my bag.
No.
Well, the drunker I got, the less my feet were on my bag.
Yeah.
And I kept spinning around and da da da. And I just thought something wasn't quite right. And I just looked down and my bag was not there anymore. And then I looked out and there was my friend.
Ooh.
Sprinting out of the door, chasing the robber of the bag down the road. He'd obviously been drinking all afternoon as well and didn't catch them. So yeah, Q very quickly sobering up and cancelling all cards. I had my phone in my back pocket though, so that was good.
That's at least good. Oh God.
I always worry if I like run after someone when I've been drinking, I'll just do a little sickie. Do you know what I mean? I was just imagining this man like running down the road and then just being like, no.
But it was that time. So I'm trying to think what year it was. I'm going to totally age myself now. But it was a good 10 years ago or so. I think even more than that, actually. Maybe 12 or 13.
You were like 18.
Yeah, 18. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, Taylor, so thank you. Ago. Yes, 18. My teenage days, I used to put photographs in my, you know, purse.
Oh, yeah.
And so you had, like, your driving licence, all your, you know, my student rail card, obviously. Young person's rail card. All of those kind of things you got to then find out and cancel.
My Beano membership card.
Blockbuster video card. Yeah. So that was the biggest problem with it, was then all the little photos that I'd lost of friends and family and stuff like that, which was... But anyway, lesson learned.
Good effort from your friend, though, like, to try and chase.
I think he regretted it.
He did
a bit of sickie. And so did he witness the guy trying to take the...
Yeah, I think it was a girl, actually. Ooh, yeah, so even more embarrassing, he was outrun.
You know, sometimes when I hear these stories about people running after people, I always think, like, I'm sure it was Usain Bolt or someone, whereby someone had stolen something and he spotted it and he was like, well, I'll go after them. I don't know who it was, but I know that it was like a runner. It was like, it was in the papers. And I was just like, literally... That's probably why they train all the time to be these incredible runners, just in case they see something being stolen.
Yeah. I've always wanted to be that person that sticks my leg out when you see someone stolen something. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It happened actually about 2 weeks ago. I saw someone running out. It's in Fulham Broadway. And two kids started running out and you could see, and then the security guard kind of came out and I thought, what have they done? But it all happened so fast. And I thought, I'll stick my leg out. And then I just completely bottled it. They haven't stolen anything and I'm literally just gonna like trip this kid over and everyone's gonna think I'm evil.
I had exactly the same thing where I was just changing buses and I was at a bus stop and this woman came running down the road and she had like, she was holding a handbag in such a way that she was sort of like holding it with two arms in front of her.
Right.
And I
no one holds their handbag.
Yeah. And I looked at my boyfriend and I was like, I think that, and then we heard this shouting and people go, stop her.
Wow.
And everyone at the bus stop just froze.
Oh no.
And then this woman ran past and then this have a go hero. I mean, he was a big lad, God love him. And he'd run all the way from the pub. And then he ran past us and he gave us this horrible look at, oh, no one did anything.
Imagine if it was the same crime.
Yeah.
And this was like,
we're witnessing it from different angles.
Yeah. This was in Islington.
Oh, unfortunately, it wasn't. But my favourite bit was that he then, for some reason, I don't know how he did it, but all of the contents of his pockets just fell on the floor as he was running. So everything went everywhere. And he carried on running, and I just thought he was going to have a heart attack. I ignored that as well.
But also, like, the way that people trip people in the movies, like, it doesn't work that way in real life. I only know this because I have brothers. And, like, you think you can just stick your leg out and, like, whoosh. But no, like, they stumble for a second, and then they keep going. So it isn't as heroic as...
Was there anything else in your handbag that was specific? Or
I can't remember. I think it was just my purse I was mostly upset about. I don't think... If somebody stole my handbag now... I mean, that would be catastrophic because it has my life in it.
Yeah, me too.
But then I didn't have that much in there. It was more the contents of my purse. Other stuff was kind of, I think I had a hairbrush in there, you know, replaceable.
Yeah. And on the podcast we do ask, if you could see this woman that stole your bag, what would you say to her?
I'd say, what did you do with my photos?
Yeah.
You weirdo.
Well, on that note, thank you, Faye, for
dredging
that up on your birthday. Yay! Cheers!
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Now, we're getting into the bit of the podcast where we take on a true crime. So this is the story of Ken Rex McElroy and a town gone vigilante.
Ooh.
This week we answer the question, is murder ever justified if someone is enough of a dickhead?
Ooh.
So,
can we answer?
Yeah, sure. Like, what do you make of that?
Not yet.
You think Kate thinks yes immediately? Doesn't even need to hear the facts.
I mean, it has to be a huge amount of a dickhead.
Okay, I think I've got something for you here, Taylor.
I'm not ready. Yet.
Okay,
I'm not
ready. Let's see.
Okay, so Ken McElroy was born in 1934 as the penultimate child among 16 other children. When he was a young boy, he was riding on a hay wagon on his parents' farm when he fell off and hit his head. This injury was so severe that a steel plate had to be surgically implanted into his head. He was illiterate and quit school year 8.
Aww.
So far, sympathetic.
As in the school year 8 or age 8?
The school year 8.
And he's got a name called Rex, you know, so...
Yeah. He was named after the family dog. They got to the 16th child. They were like,
I don't understand the steel plate in the head thing. I never have. Like, this will fix it. We'll just put a chunk of metal in there. I've never understood how that helps.
That's a really good point, isn't it?
Keep it from spilling out, or we'll cut it in half with some metal. It doesn't.
It's like a step up from an elastoplast.
So as a grown-up, he made a relatively good living racing and selling dogs and leasing out land by his farm. But this wasn't enough for him, and he soon turned to crime. It started with hunting raccoons. And escalated to
the best of all the crimes.
Crime.
Yeah. I don't know what. But anyway, and escalated.
You just wait till they come around the bins. Gotcha.
It escalated to stealing grain, alcohol, gasoline, antiques, and livestock. Not all at the same time, I presume. He's gone to Lidl or something. So McElroy got arrested around 4 times a year. He terrorised the town and managed to escape conviction every single time. He carried a gun and intimidated anyone who got in his way.
Okay, this is definitely in the US.
That was the question.
How did he get away with it?
Well, we'll come on to that.
4 times a year and always...
Yeah, over about 20 years.
Wow.
But they're like, well, he's got that plate in his head, so...
He's a white man too, I'm assuming.
He is a white man. Ken McElroy is a white man, yes. Okay, so, I mean, I guess we could get more specific. Yes, it is in America.
I'm sorry. I got across that, but I was like...
Is his name Ken?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd renamed him Rex.
No, he's called Ken Rex.
Oh, he is called Ken Rex. That's like a lame name with a stud name.
Yeah, that's true. No wonder he's confused.
The name's Ken. Ken Rex. But yes, it was America. It happened in the town of Skidmore. Terrible name for a town. So the town's called Skidmore. Can you think, like, just guess somewhere in America?
Wyoming.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh. No.
Illinois.
No.
That's funny. I was like, Skidmore, Illinois. Wow. Ken Rex McElroy.
Indiana.
Skidmore.
No.
I was going to say
Texas.
Kansas.
No.
South Dakota.
So many fucking states.
North Carolina.
Begins with
how many have we done?
With Massachusetts.
Montana.
No.
Massachusetts.
No.
Oh, gosh.
Mississippi.
No. I'm going to tell you, Missouri.
Skidmore, Missouri. There we go. Okay.
The town was home to less than 450 residents, and 10 of these residents were Ken McElroy's children, which he had via 4 different women, including Trina McLeod, who, when McElroy met her, was only 12 years old.
Oh. What the fuck? Yeah. There's a lot wrong with this town.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, within 2 years, she was expecting her first child. So you say there's a lot wrong with the town. That's probably true. But they didn't just
look, let him... Don't diss Skidmore. You don't know about Skidmore.
So, like, presumably... Well, actually, was there a different age of consent in the 19...
They didn't let him get away with it. So this is one of the things that he's taken to court for. McElroy was accused of child molestation. And, you know, quite rightly, he should have been. But there was a loophole.
Oh, God.
And he got out of it. Like, he gets out of everything. What do you think the loophole was?
They got married or... She had a kid or...
He married her, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Like, so they got married. So married, Trenor would be unable to give evidence against him due to a thing called spousal privilege.
Oh, man, so that's not just a joke in sitcoms.
No, it's a real thing where you can't...
Convict your spouse.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
So she's 12, so...
Well, she's 14 when she has the child, and that's when he gets accused of it.
And but obviously she agrees to marry him. Where are her parents in all this?
Well, no, it's a good question. But he was the most frightening man in this town.
Oh.
Yes. And apparently the spousal privilege is basically means that it's based on the husband and wife being seen as one person.
Mm. Oh, God.
I know, it's bad, isn't it?
That's awful.
There's that line, I love that line in Parks and Rec, which was about the fact that when... What is it? When a couple get married, two single people die. Which is different to this. He married Trenor, who then went to live with him and his ex-wife, which is no fun, is it? So do you think...
His ex-wife?
Yeah, so his ex-wife is still living in the house because he was just like, oh, well, I'll divorce you and marry her for the sake of... And there's lots of kind of... The more I researched into this...
He's like the Fagin of the... world.
The Missouri world.
Yeah. With all the, you know, the...
Bigamist.
Yeah, but like all these poor young children doing his bidding and like...
I am not Team K-Rex. I am not Team K-Rex.
Not anymore.
K-Rex.
Sort of a bit weird you've given him that name. yeah, and she didn't enjoy life there. And shortly afterwards, after she gave birth, she made an escape bid and ended up at her parents' house with her baby boy. Do you think McElroy just let her do this?
No.
An escape bid, is that illegal?
She ran away from him basically.
So presumably it's the 40s now, is it? No, it's
no, it'd
the
be 50s. Like the 50s or 60s.
It's the 50s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he went and got her. I mean, I realise that this is quite a sort of like this particular case is pretty horrible because of what happens. I really need to paint this picture of what this guy is like.
No, that's fine. We're already excited that he's going to get murdered. K-Rex.
He went and got her, took her back to the house, and then went back to her parents' house and burnt it down.
Wow.
Oh.
I know, it's a lot, isn't it?
He's what you would describe as a wrong'un.
Yes! Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to go overboard here.
Yeah.
Toxic masculinity.
He also shot someone. Who do you think that was?
Oh, God, was it one of her parents?
No, I'll give you a clue. It wasn't... it wasn't a human person.
Oh, did she the family dog?
Yes.
Rex, who he was named after.
Yeah. His namesake. Wait, so he goes to her parents' house, gets her back, burns down the house and shoots the dog?
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, I want him dead.
What, immediately?
I want him dead right now.
To answer your first question, Katie's ready.
Give me the gun.
So he burnt her house, the family house down, and then shot the dog.
Yeah.
So the parents could just come back to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the parents survived. I don't know what...
forces the girl...
Yeah, to go back and live with him. And yeah, and she did, you know. And she was there when he was murdered, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So this sort of behaviour continues for several years, and his list of misdemeanours getting only longer and more serious. So McElroy shoots a local farmer, a guy called Romaine Henry, in the stomach because he was trying to chase McElroy off his land. So McElroy was on Romaine Henry's land.
Yeah.
Romaine Henry says, get off my land. And he shoots him in the stomach.
His name was Romaine.
Yeah.
Did he grow lettuce? Just asking.
Did he invent lettuce?
Is that a misdemeanor? Shooting him in the stomach.
So he doesn't get prosecuted for burning down a house.
Nope.
Or shooting a dog.
Uh-huh.
Does he get prosecuted for this farmer murder?
No, he doesn't, because McElroy's attorney, Richard McFadden, said he routinely defended McElroy over the years, and he said he was the best client I ever had. Ugh. He was punctual, always said he didn't do it, paid in cash, and kept coming back.
The fuck?
And that was, I think, a perfect Missouri action. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was spot on.
He also managed to sound like an arsehole as well, which is, you know, brilliant.
It's a lot of characterization.
How do you get away with murder, though? What's the plea for that?
Well, he didn't kill...
Richard paid in cash was supposed to come first. Punctual, you can be late, but if you pay in cash, that's right.
He didn't kill Romaine Henry. He didn't die. Oh. Shot him in the stomach, but he didn't die.
But it's still a crime to shoot someone in the stomach, though.
But he managed to get away with it because of this attorney. So this attorney used to represent other people as well. What kind of people do you think he represented?
Criminals. Reprobates.
Yes, criminals.
He's a mafia one.
A ne'er-do-well.
Reprobate.
Abaddon. A reprobate.
But, I mean, it was the mob.
Was that his... I was going to say the mafia.
This is very gangster behaviour, burning down someone's house and shooting their dog.
And I kind of think that, like, to be honest, maybe that's the attorney I'd want. Like, would you not want someone that worked for the mob?
Of course. It's the attorney we all want. And that we'll all get.
Okay, so the town, on the up. So this...
Skidmark. What's it called?
Skidmore, I think.
I'm so sorry to the residents. We've a big fan base.
No,
in Skidmore.
I am not sorry to the... Oh, no, the modern residents are probably not some people that
and
we're
slagging
off.
And also, it wasn't really their fault. Like, it's kind of the justice system. So the town hated McElroy because he'd been terrorising Skidmore for years and kept getting away with it.
Yeah.
So it all comes to a head in 1980 when his 8-year-old son...
1980?
Yeah, 1980.
So wait, he's been raping... kids for ages, and then suddenly 1980 everyone gets pissed off.
Yeah,
we're not talking about Michael Jackson, Katie. We're talking about this case.
So yeah, it's in 1980 when his 8-year-old son was in the general store, and the elderly owner, Ernest Beau Bowenkamp, asked him to put back some sweets that he hadn't paid for. And apparently McElroy was so incensed by this that he started stalking the Bowenkamp family, and a few days later drove into an alley next to the general store, confronted Beau, and shot him in the neck at close range with a shotgun.
Because he told his kid to not steal.
Yep. So do you think Beau survived?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Shot in the neck?
At close range of the shotgun.
Now
I do, because you're asking me. At the time, I didn't.
You can read me like a book.
Hey, well, such a sleuth.
Yeah, I'm going to go with survived.
Yes, he did. He survived. Shortly after, McElroy was arrested and charged with attempted murder.
Okay.
So a trial took place this time. Do you think he was convicted?
Well, so he's never been brought to court.
Never been.
Until now.
Yeah.
He has shot a farmer in the stomach.
Yep.
He
He's raped like, a 12-year-old.
Yep. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I reckon that all of the people on the jury, if they're all from that area, are too terrified to convict him.
Ooh. So he'd get off. Yeah. Yes, jury tampering, intimidation thing.
This up to this point, this is what he would do. Is he would always have his gun with him. He'd intimidate people.
I mean, is there not a law about not having your gun in the courtroom? Or no, just
I mean, he's got balls, like, but my God.
I'm just so confused how this guy has amassed so much power.
Like, he's just got a great attorney, and he just threatens people. Anybody
who... Where does he get
the
money to pay this mafia lawyer?
I think he had him. Yeah, he had him on retainer.
He's a standard retainer.
He's killing raccoons. He's stealing gas and all those things. He's making loads of money.
He is making money from his exploits, and he'd like cattle rustle, and he also had legitimate businesses as well. So like,
I always do.
Yes, yeah, so he was convicted this time, guys.
Oh.
He was convicted, despite the fact he tried to intimidate the family by parking outside their house at night and sometimes even firing his gun that he had with him. This is while the trial was going on. But although he was convicted, he appealed and was released on bond.
How did that happen?
Well, he appealed and he's got this good attorney, and they had to release him until they found a time to... I mean, I don't know. You read it and you're just like, the justice system has let this town down over and over again. So he was free again. And
it's fun to pretend that Ken Rex, just for a second, was a black woman. Like, pretend any of this happened. It's like,
yeah.
So I parked outside their house, I shot off my gun. It's like, well,
Bond.
No, he is getting away with it. It's kind of ridiculous, and there's more to it as well, like, but just not so much that we can cover in this episode. But real dickhead. So once freed, McElroy didn't just quietly celebrate his victory. Instead, he continued to harass Bowenkamp, parking outside his house again with his shotgun, and even showing up to the town's local bar armed with a shotgun, armed with a rifle and a bayonet.
All over sweets, penny sweets. Yeah. God, can you imagine?
Well, it's the ego, isn't it? It's like the narcissism and the crazy. He's a proper psychopath, isn't he?
I mean, definitely. So he threatened to kill the elderly grocer in the local bar. And the police could do nothing.
What?
I know. So McElroy knew exactly what he could get away with within the law. So the townspeople, they took matters into their own hands. They met at the village hall. Classic, innit?
Oh my God.
And decided they needed to do
so
something.
So covert.
There would have been posters on.
Well, there's, we've got one building that can fit us. We are Skidmark. We will not put up with this. Who's with me?
So they met at the village hall and decided they needed to do something about the town bully. Even the mayor was there. So what do you think they decided to do? Bearing in mind, let's see what you think.
The mayor was there.
They're going to do like Murder on the Orient Express. Everyone's guilty. Turn out the lights. It could have been anyone.
Very much so, yeah.
Oh my God, really? Nailed it.
Kind of annoying when people get this stuff right. Well, it's not that. What's so interesting about this case is that we don't know if that's what they... So I'll tell you what happens next.
Okay.
We don't know if this was something they all premeditated together or something that just happened.
Oh,
and they
spontaneously.
All,
yeah. But we know they had a meeting.
We know they had a meeting literally just before this happened.
Okay.
So they're having a meeting, and the first thing someone suggested was a neighbourhood watch.
Obviously, because that's going to help.
I can just picture the person saying that too. Like,
maybe... We don't have to do it. Let's not jump to doing things. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I've seen him. He's just shot someone. Yep, thanks. And also, it's a bit like Who Shot Mr. Burns, that episode of The Simpsons. Someone was suggesting a neighbourhood watch, but about halfway through the meeting, someone came in saying Ken was in town and was making threats in the local bar. So this was all too much for the townsfolk, and en masse, somewhere between 40 and 50 people marched up the main street outside the bar when Ken and his wife Trenna were sat in the van. What happens next?
Which one's Trenna? Is
he's
that
still
the
first
one?
The 12-year-old.
She the first wife?
Yeah.
Well, she's the fourth wife.
The hostage,
wife. The
though.
First one we've mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so
the one
Trenna
that he
was
burned
the child.
Down the house.
The child, oh, yeah. The child bride.
You know what my best names. Memory of our marriage is? Is when you torched my parents' house and shot my dog.
Oh.
Happy 40th, baby.
So, yeah, they've been married 30 years, right?
Oh. Well, for quite a while, yeah.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
Well, essentially it was what happens next, but actually, to be fair, that's quite open. So, as Ken McElroy sat in his Chevy Silverado, the town opened fire and at least two guns were used to shoot 15 rounds. His wife was pulled to safety and McElroy was hit twice.
Wow, oh, that's nice they pulled her to safety.
Yeah, it's a sweet ending to
this. She had a bit of a shit life, really. Nice that she was then saved a grisly end.
I bet she was in on it. They're like, hey.
They were like,
remember the shit start you had to your marriage? You know what?
If we say 3, 2, 1, duck.
Yeah, all you have to do is get him to sit in his car. We'll do the rest.
Unfortunately, as ever with all of these things, she was the only one that was like, oh, he wasn't that bad. He wasn't.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, the fire at her parents' house. She was like, it's an electrical fault that happened to happen.
Oh, anyway. How did the dog get
the
shot,
dog?
You idiot?
Shot itself or something,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So my gangs, question to you.
All the gangs.
So McElroy was hit twice. Who called the ambulance?
Her.
Oh, he did. He was shot twice. Maybe he wasn't dead and he called it himself.
Ooh. Wow. The mayor.
It was no one.
Oh, no one called an ambulance.
No one called an ambulance.
But did an ambulance come?
I think eventually someone came, but the whole town, like there was 50 people.
They're like, la la la.
La la la. Yeah, exactly. So he died.
Wow.
And so.
Oh, shame.
So of the 40 people on the main street surrounding his car that day, how many do you think testified as witnesses?
None.
40.
You're completely right. None of them.
Is this why they did this like neighborhood watch front? That they're like, yeah, we were all watching and we didn't see anything.
Oh, I don't know how far they got.
Is that the cover?
I don't know, because this is what's interesting about this case is it's like how much of it was that they decided, right, we're going to go and kill him right now and we're not going to say who it was, or how much of it was they all went up there, two people were like, right, that's it, I'm going to shoot him.
And then everyone else was, I'm Spartacus.
Everyone else was like Spartacus.
Everybody's
so,
like, let's just shoot our guns because that's fun. Like the bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, so everybody claimed they didn't see who fired the shots, apart from the fact they all saw it, even the mayor. And
so
almost,
the mayor was there.
Well, do you know what? It's a little bit like the more sort of like different things you read about this case. You're like, sometimes the mayor's not there. Sometimes it happens outside the general store. Sometimes it happens outside the pub. There's different sort of like, sometimes it's straight after this meeting.
Become
sometimes
a bit folklore.
It's a bit folklore-y, but these are kind of the main sort of the main beats. So almost 40 years later, no one has ever said who did it. Ken's wife, Trenna, said she saw who did it and said it was a guy called Del Clement, who was part owner of the bar. But he said he didn't do it, and the DA declined to press charges, and the following investigation proved to be futile as no one would take the stand.
Del killed Ken. Sounds like something.
Yeah,
like
it's very
Only
extended.
Fools and Horses.
Oh, that's an episode I want to watch. Like a crossover with Curry. So Del Boy kills Ken Barlow. That would be amazing. Even the FBI tried to crack the case, but no one said a word. So you've got this whole town, the FBI.
That, you've
are coming.
Got the wife IDing a perp. So they have got something.
A perp. I love it. I love the lingo.
I'm such a good detective.
You are in a professional police station now.
Sleuth.
But they looked into it and then I think everyone else said, oh no, it wasn't him.
Okay.
And then so her testimony didn't really mean anything.
She's just a dumb lady, right? What does she know?
Well, maybe, but also, when everyone else
is saying...
If
you've got 40 other people discounting him.
Yeah. They never said anything. Ernest Bonecamp's daughter, Cheryl Houston. Go on.
Well, I was just wondering, because I know, like, safety in numbers and all of that, so everybody's saying we didn't see anything. Mm. Did they know that Ken had this mafia lawyer? Like, there
actually,
obviously wasn't this fear of, like, well, they're going to take us all out.
Is there going to be a mob reprisal on
but
the
I don't
town?
Think he was. I don't think he was ever part of the mafia. Like, it wasn't... He was just this dude.
He just happened... He could afford him.
Yeah.
So he was like the side. He was probably pro bono. Yes. It's like, because they do. They're like, well, we'll represent the mob, but then we do pro bono on the side. White guys from Missouri.
It's something like that. Yeah, he wasn't mafia. He was just this guy who was just, I think, obsessed with
Irish
this...
guy. With
he
a
just he worked out he could
head.
Run this town.
Yeah, essentially. And then the town said, no, mate. So Ernest Bowenkamp's daughter, Cheryl Houston, said, once the Shroud of Silence fell, there was going to be no one talking. They could have pushed and dug and gotten nothing. Town Marshal David Dunbar, who had resigned the post a year or so before out of fear of McElroy, would only comment 20 years later.
Why?
And he said, it's really a shame about the Silverado. That was a really nice truck.
Oh, Ben.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. After all of that time, he's like, well, they smashed the truck up, so that's a shame. With the guns. My son sort of,
you know you're a dickhead.
Yeah.
If you did start it off by saying, if you're a dickhead, is it okay to be murdered?
Yes.
And I think I know the answer to that. After this.
It feels that way, doesn't it? And it feels like we have to get quite dark there, but you had to know.
It's hard to crack,
guy.
Carruthers, but you had to go through the story before you knew what you felt in your heart.
So my final question to you guys is, you know, if this happened in your hometown, you know, and these were the circumstances, or you were in Skidmore, Missouri in 1980.
I'm still laughing.
would you have kept quiet? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
We'd have had to kill him way sooner than that if that was my town.
Yeah, it took them a little bit too long.
Yeah. Mm.
It's insane.
That almost becomes its own mafia, doesn't it? Like, if you're the one
mob
in the
rule.
Tiny town. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be that guy.
Pitchfork mob.
Right.
Ken deserves a fair trial.
Nobody wants to be
Ken
that guy.
Ken had 20 fair trials, unfair trials.
His exactly. name's Ken, yeah. He must be nice.
lovely Ken. So, that is the end of the story of Ken, Ken Rex McElroy. So cheers, here's to Skidmore, Missouri, the town who got away with murder. Cheers.
Yeah. Well done, Skid, Missouri.
Drunk women solving crime.
This is the last part of the podcast, and where we take a listener crime. And this crime was submitted to us when we did our live show, because we asked people to write down their crimes. And this person hasn't given a name, so it's a bit of a mystery.
and Hannah has also ripped it in half.
I was like, yeah, I'll use this one, and then pulled
she was
it.
Excited.
And it's come apart. The handwriting is very similar to that of my 93-year-old Nana.
Oh.
So I did not see her at the live show. She has been dead for 15 years, but this, I'm just gonna assume this was maybe her. So at my eighth, dear drunk women, at my eighth birthday party at home with family, the cake was a healthy fruit cake, open brackets, that was very disappointing, close brackets.
Madeira, surely.
I can relate to that.
You gotta go Madeira or Vicky Sponge.
Oh, Vicky Sponge, actually. Ooh. Yeah, they're very similar, but Vicky Sponge has the edge.
There was icing on the top and a large pink rose, which was mine, underlined, because it was my birthday.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You have to have the face
that's,
of Colin
that's
the Caterpillar
your rose.
If it's your birthday.
Yeah,
same
you
kind
get
of thing.
All the good bits.
Damn
yeah.
right. Damn right.
Just for the day.
Let me do that in this podcast. People are going, yes! Yes! Rather than like him being this terrible man being murdered. Like, yes, Colin Caterpillar! Once I'd blown out the candles, there was lots of commotion, and amidst presents, I lost sight of the cake. When I saw the cake again, the rose was gone.
Oh.
And that's from Nana.
So we kind of need a list of suspects, because it could have been any one of the other kids at that party.
It feels like a sibling.
Yes.
Just immediately. Yeah. I don't think friends ever have the balls to be like, I will steal.
Oh, there's always a couple of naughty kids that would.
Have you seen Secret Life of 4-year-olds?
Yes.
There will be kids that just go, not allowed to touch that, I'm touching it.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
That rose is mine.
Absolutely.
Oh, it means a lot to another child. Very nice. I'll have that.
Oh, I'm going to homeschool my kid.
I chose this one specifically because this child has been Hannah Georged, as we call him. Actually, I read it and I was like, oh shit, was my brother at this gig? Because and why
have
does
you
he write like that? Well, I've been, literally, it almost became a fun tradition. But there was a particular Thomas the Tank Engine cake whereby even before they put the candles on, I'd gone for the chimney.
The chimney. Not Thomas, the chimney. That's a big chunk of icing.
Well, I think it was like this big licorice thing.
Yeah.
And then like they were like, where's it gone? And like my parents were like, look inside Hannah's mouth, and it was like blackmail. Yeah, that upset my brother quite a lot. And then there's this great home video of like, oh my god, if I can find it and put it online, it's just this video of everyone singing my brother happy birthday when he's four. And there's this big cake, and there's like 20 people around. There's this big cake, and it's got Smarties all over it. And everyone's like looking at Tom singing his thing. And then I'm just slowly picking, like methodically picking all these Smarties off the cake and just eating them. And then looking around, still no one's watching. So I really relate to this, and I've just got to say to the person that wrote in, it was either me or it was your little sister.
Oh, I so want to see that video.
You have to trademark that as been Hannah Georged.
Yeah.
When something has been stolen from you, you were Hannah Georged in the Hen and Chickens.
It has to be food that was yours.
Oh, okay.
For it to be Hannah Georged. It has to be this really lovely bit of food that you were really looking forward to that was your special treat for your birthday.
I wondered what happened to my cake.
I don't know what you mean. That was me trying to sound like I've got food in my mouth, but I sounded like a dog. I don't know what you mean.
Well, we solved that, though.
Yeah, I'm glad that you just weren't enough of a dickhead on the Isle of Wight to be taken out.
Could you imagine, like, all my brother and all his friends are like super soakers.
Yeah,
I'm sat in one of those little cars.
No one saw nothing.
Well, I mean, it's a birthday theme today as well. That's probably why.
That was a good
that's why I chose it rather than
to implicate yourself.
I've worked through a lot of things tonight.
To out yourself.
Faye, what's the best birthday you've ever had?
Today.
And we kind of know the answer, but
it's been awesome. Thank you very much.
Well, Faye, do you have anything that you want to tell us about? What are you up to? What can you tell our listeners to listen in for you?
It's been one of those random days today because I did a Football Weekly podcast for The Guardian this morning.
Very nice.
And then this afternoon, which is great. I'm at Luton versus Plymouth for Soccer Saturday.
Oh.
On Saturday, Luton on my... Luton and my team. So it's that, like, I actually, everyone's like, oh, you can't be biased. I'm like, obviously, I'm a journalist. I'm not going to be biased.
But who do you think's going to win?
Well, Luton, obviously. But I will go the other way. And the problem is I will then go, Plymouth are amazing, just to kind of cover it up. Even if we're winning 4-0. Yeah, brilliance. So, yeah.
Very nice. Follow Faye on Twitter as well.
And by the time this is out, we'll know who won, Luton or Plymouth.
That's a good point. And you'll also know whether or not I've been annihilated by Plymouth fans.
Oh, well, brilliant. Well, thank you for coming along and solving some crimes with us.
Yay! Cheers! Cheers!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.